Welcome to Just a Minute. Hello, my name is Nicholas Parsons, and as the minute waltz fades away, once more it is my pleasure to introduce to you the four exciting and entertaining personalities who this week are going to play Just a Minute. We welcome back Derek Nimmo and Peter Jones and Tim Rice, and for the first time we welcome Paul Merton. Will you please welcome all four of them? As usual, I will ask them if they can speak on the subject that I give them, and they will try and do that without hesitation, repetition, or deviating from the subject. Beside me sits Ian Messiter, the creator of the game, with a stopwatch in his left hand, a whistle in his right hand, which he will blow when 60 seconds are up. We'll begin the show this week with Peter Jones. Peter, the subject is pinching. Will you tell us something about that in just a minute, starting now?
What a very interesting man. Sir Thomas, or Toby, Pinching, once he left the monastery, he started a pottery factory in the Five...
Tim Rice has challenged.
Lack of a main verb. I mean, we sort of...
I beg your pardon?
What was that?
What a very interesting man, Thomas or Toby. I mean, I didn't quite gather if it was one bloke or two, and...
What is the challenge?
Well, the challenge is incomprehensibility. Well, or, actually, in other words, deviation.
I think you have to keep going under pressure, and we've just started the show, so I would disagree entirely, Tim, with the challenge. So Peter gets a point for an incorrect challenge, keeps the subject, 49 seconds are left, starting now.
He started up this little factory in the very shadow of Sir Josiah Wedgwood's similar establishment, but he started making... figurines.
Derek Nimmo challenged.
He started twice.
Yes, he started
Well, he did,
once.
Actually. It's interesting.
But in just a minute, you cannot repeat the word, which you did, unfortunately, Peter. So Derek Nimmo got in and gets a point for a correct challenge, takes over the subject of pinching, and there are 41 seconds left, starting now.
The most awful thing about buying a new pair of shoes is when you find that they're pinching, isn't it? The former Marquis of Bath solved the problem by getting his first footman always to wear his shoes in for him. Now, the only way I've managed to...
Peter Jones has challenged.
I'm surprised Tim Rice didn't find this incomprehensible. I found it incomprehensible, and I'm sitting next to him.
He was going at a rattling pace.
I was going rather rapidly, because if I go slowly, you'd challenge. If I go, I try to give it a...
What was that?
Head of steam, I think. I can't help it, because you're getting a bit deaf or anything.
I think...
I mean, 20 years ago, you were quite quick on the uptake. I've been sitting next to him for 20 years. And I now have to cut my hands and shout in his left ear all the time.
Peter, I disagree with the challenge, and so Derek Nimmo continues with pinching. 29 seconds are left, starting now.
So when Pinching started his factory in the potteries near Stoke-on-Trent, he actually stole the designs of Wedgwood, and that's why it is called Pinching. Which is a frightfully interesting fact, because not everybody...
Paul Merton has challenged.
Didn't Wedgwood make plates?
He did make plates, yes.
Well, how would a shoe manufacturer pinch designs... Unless that's me just being thick, of course.
Well, no, I mean, I don't know whether you should establish that. I think that's such a good challenge. We have to give it to you, Paul, and you get a point for that. And you have 20 seconds to tell us something about pinching, starting now.
Pinching or nicking is a term that...
Derek never challenged.
Put him in his place.
Derek,
how dare
that is one of the meanest challenges. That is the first time that Paul Merton has opened his mouth on just a minute... And he had three words out, and you came straight in there as like a sharp as a knife. And all I'm going to say is I thought it was an unfair challenge, even if it was correct. And say, Paul, you have a point for that, and you continue with pinching, and 16 seconds are left, starting now.
It's a piece of Cockney slang that...
Derek Nimmo challenged again.
Repetition of Cockney slang.
I thought I said that after the buzzer the first time.
No, you didn't.
You get some idea of how the game is played now. Even if you're a new boy in the show, you get no quarter, I'm afraid. Derek Nimmo gets the subject back again, pinching. 14 seconds left, starting now.
It is awfully mean to pinch.
And Paul Merton has challenged.
Repetition of the English language.
I don't mind what you say, Paul. I quite agree with the challenge. And And you have the subject of pinching back and 12 seconds to go, starting now.
Old-time Londoners used to use these phrases as piece of underground talking. When they didn't want the policeman to know what they were saying, they would say, call the Esclops, which is backwards slang for look for...
When Ian Messiter blows his whistle, it tells us that the 60 seconds are up, and whoever is speaking at that moment gains an extra point. On this occasion, it was our first-time guest, Paul Merton, and you will be pleased and interested to hear he's in the lead at the end of the first round. Tim Rice, will you take the second round? The subject, riddles. Will you tell us something about those in just a minute, starting now?
Riddles are a harmless form of enjoyment for the simple-minded. I recall a very early one.
Paul Merton challenge.
I'd just like to say I like them.
Well, that proves my point.
So what do I do there? Give Paul a bonus. We liked his challenge, but the subject still remains with Tim, who gets a point for being interrupted, and he has 54 seconds to continue with riddles, starting now.
Which simpleton can fail to trill with glee hearing the riddle, when is a door not something that you walk through and open and shut again when you leave the room? The answer being, when it is a...
Derek never challenged.
Three wens.
I know. I remember there was one show in which you said it was very unfair for Tim Rice to challenge when someone was in the middle of a joke or a saying or an aphorism or something.
It was a joke. I'm so sorry. I retract.
No, it was a riddle which was supposed to get a humorous response, even though everybody knew what the answer was. But it was a correct challenge, and so you have to have the subject. And 41 seconds on riddles, starting now.
Of course, riddles can't always be pleasant and have not been in times past. One thinks of Thebes, and outside that city was the Sphinx. Now, not the one that was in Egypt, but set that terrible riddle. What has four legs, two legs, and three...
And Tim Rice's challenge.
Legs, I'm sorry.
Yes, yeah. Too many legs, I'm sorry, Derek. Tim, you have the subject back. There are 25 seconds left for riddles, starting now.
Why did the chicken cross the road? I hear you cry. The answer, very simple indeed. Because it wanted to get or progress to the other side. There is an alternative answer to this age-old question, viz., because it saw the zebra crossing. I personally prefer the first traditional answer to one of these great riddles of our time. There are some subjects which one talks about in which...
Well, Tim Rice got points in that round, including one for speaking as the whistle went, and he's moved into third place. He's one behind Derek Nimmo, who's one behind Paul Merton, who's still our leader, and Peter Jones is trailing a little. And I think it is Derek's turn to begin. Derek, the subject is rope tricks. Will you tell us something about that in this game, starting now?
I remember being in the outer suburbs of Bombay, and there I espied a fakir with his rope, which he was trying to get to rise high into the air. He had a flute in one hand.
Paul Merton,
why is he talking funny?
I think that's a very good question. Other words, deviation from his normal speech.
Indeed, yes.
Yes, indeed, yes. So, Paul, you have another point, and you have 43 seconds for rope tricks starting now.
I know a magician who could do several good rope tricks. One was to make the rope go down to the shops and do the shopping for him. Another...
Derek Nimmo challenged.
Why is it going, and talking funny?
Because in just a minute, that's hesitation, and you've got the subject back, Derek, with 35 seconds on rope tricks starting now.
Well, he went to Piccadilly Circus, and he found these chaps working on the rail about to start, and so he gave one a rope and took it right round the centre of the circus, which I've said
and
twice...
And Peter Jones has challenged.
Hesitation.
Oh, hesitation. Why did you say circus? Well, it's a bit of a cleaner challenge, I thought. Circus twice.
Circus, all right.
All right, go for your life. I don't mind.
No, all right. I'm ready.
Have you two stopped having a chat amongst yourselves?
What?
Can we get on with the show?
I mean, yeah, of course, yes.
Peter, I agree with your challenge. 22 seconds on rope tricks starting now.
You hear a lot about Indian rope tricks, but there are others like the South American rope trick of the gauchos. They have a rope and each man has two balls which he attaches to the end of the rope and twirls it around his head and hurls it at cows and other four-legged creatures and manages to capture them thus. Now, this is extremely difficult. It's more...
So, Peter, that resounding round of applause from our audience shows that they not only enjoyed what you said, but the fact that you kept going to the whistle went and kept another point. And you are equal in third place with Tim Rice, just behind Derek Nimmo, and out in the lead is Paul Merton, 1 point ahead of Derek, and he begins the next round. Paul, the first subject on which you're going to talk in just a minute is bimbos. I don't know whether you have any personal experience of them, but will you tell us something about them in this game, starting now?
My girlfriend is a bimbo. She is one of these people who believes that cats are real human beings in tiny little fur suits. So, the cats...
Tim Rice challenged.
Well, it's very tasteless. I find it offensive. But that was not my challenge. My challenge was hesitation.
I'm afraid it was a little bit of hesitation there, so I have to be a bit more firm now. I will give you the benefit of the doubt when I can, but I don't think I could there. So, Tim, you have 50 seconds to tell us something about bimbos starting now.
Bimbos are...
And Paul Merton challenged.
I'd like to be given the benefit of the doubt.
I give you a bonus point for the challenge, which I enjoyed very much, but I can't give you the benefit of the doubt. And Tim gets one for being challenged, and he gets 48 seconds to continue with bimbos starting now.
Bimbos are a comparatively recent phenomenon. If you had said to somebody, what is a bimbo, 5 or even only 3 years ago, they would have said, what are you talking about, cock, or words to that effect. And the reason is not hard to discover. This word was invented by politicians or by journalists following politics in the United States of America in order to do down perfectly decent politicians.
And Paul Merton got in first.
Repetition of politicians.
That's right, well listened, and he knew he'd done it because he paused afterwards. So, Paul, you have another point. You have 24 seconds to tell us something about bimbos, starting now.
Rod Stewart is well known for going out with bimbos. They seem to be that...
Tim Rice challenged.
I'm afraid an error.
I'm afraid you're right, yes. 15 seconds for you, Tim Rice, on Bimbo, starting now.
Bimbo, what you gonna do-yo, was the first line of a song popular in about 1954. I never discovered...
Peter Jones challenged.
Well, he told us a minute or two ago that it hadn't been used until the last 3 or 4 years.
Well, listen, Peter. So you get the subject with 6 seconds on bimbos starting now.
They're usually young ladies who are more famous for their physical charms than for their intellectual abilities. Now, I wish I had longer to expand on this subject, but alas, we have to go home in about half an hour, don't we?
What?
It's all right, we've gone over time, but actually Tim challenged you with 1 second to go. What was your challenge, Tim?
Well, I thought there was a hesitation.
No, there wasn't. But how could there be a hesitation when I only had to speak for 6 seconds?
Well,
ridiculous.
I'm afraid there was, Peter, but I'm not going to give it against you. I'm going to be generous to you and tell you what, 1 second to go on bimbo starting now.
I rather like them.
Well, that gives a nice even score at the end of that round. Derek Nimmo, for once, is in fourth place, 1 point behind Peter Jones, who's 1 point behind Tim Rice, who's 1 point behind Paul Merton. And Peter, your turn to begin. The subject is supermarkets. Will you tell us something about those in just a minute, starting now?
They're the places that people like to go to shop, although most of the public will say they prefer the little corner shop with a little old man.
Tim Rice, a challenge.
Abrasive shops.
Yes.
Was there?
Yes, those are the shops that people like to go to shop. If you repeat the word, it's
just thought Tim Rice would be interested enough in what I was going to say to want to hang on. I can't understand it, you see.
Well, a lot of us would have thought that too, Peter, but yes. I'm afraid he challenged, and I
Amazing.
Have to be fair within the game. I try to keep a sort of balance of
I
things.
I know you're trying hard all the time. I know. It's just breaking my heart, what with you.
And you can be trying as well, Peter, on
yes.
occasions, but I won't emphasise that. So, Tim, you have a correct challenge, 51 seconds, supermarkets starting now.
I want to break my talk on supermarkets into 5 or 6 sections, and I want you to follow extremely carefully. Point one about...
Derek Nimmo challenged.
Repetition of one.
No, he said 5 different things. He didn't say one.
5 or 6, I said, not one.
Tim, you get another point for that, for an incorrect challenge, and you have 43 seconds on supermarket starting now.
First, I would like to consider the architectural...
Derek Nimmo challenged.
You did repeat, I would like. I would like to put into...
I said I want, I think, first time.
Actually, no, I would like. I'm afraid you did say I would like.
Well, let him get on with the first one, because we've got five more.
I thought he was being a bit ambitious in 60 seconds to give us all 5 points.
Overconfident altogether.
Yes. Derek, I agree with that challenge. 40 seconds on supermarket starting now.
My wife always insists on me accompanying her to her supermarket, and she always gives me a...
Tim Rice challenge.
Always, I'm sorry,
yes,
twice.
Yes, always. She always did too much, didn't she? 35 seconds for you, Tim, back with supermarket starting now.
Fifthly, are there too many supermarkets?
Paul Merton challenge.
I think I've gone to sleep there, because I've missed points 2 through to 4.
Yes. Well, that was the fifth one, wasn't it?
Yes.
Well, I don't think he has to take them
I don't think you've missed much, frankly.
I would have liked to have seen him follow the theme through, nevertheless, having...
Yeah, I know, but he wasn't able to do it in just a minute. For some reason, he jumped to number 5, maybe because he only had 35 seconds left. But it wasn't a correct challenge, Paul, so Tim still has the subject. 32 seconds, supermarket, starting now.
And finally, to sum up everything I've been telling you, I would like to point out that supermarkets are a vital strand of our society. Where else can people meet on equal terms?
Paul Merton challenged.
In a pub.
I was going to answer the question myself. It was a rhetorical question.
I gave a rhetorical answer.
And Tim, Paul got another point. Tim's getting a point for being interrupted. He keeps the subject. 22 seconds with you, Tim. Supermarket starting now.
Really? I won that one, did I? How amazing. Yeah. What wonderful challenge.
Yes, Peter. Deviation.
That wasn't talking about supermarkets.
Absolutely. He wasn't
talking. That was deviating.
Absolutely, Peter. I quite agree. Well, listen, 19 seconds for you to tell us something about supermarkets, the subject you started with and lost about half an hour ago, and 19 seconds left starting now.
Is a supermarket trolley in your garden a status symbol? Because there are lots of them in our road, of different kinds. So obviously the people are using these big emporiums and buying things, and then they put babies and old rubbish and stuff into the...
So it's still a close contest with Derek Nimmo trailing Peter Jones, trailing Paul Merton, trailing Tim Rice. And Tim, your turn to begin. The subject, sharks. Will you tell us something about those in just a minute, starting now?
Sharks have been the inspiration for a good many motion pictures or movies for our American listeners.
A Paul Merton challenge.
Name 5.
Jaws 1, Jaws 2, Jaws 3, Jaws 4, Jaws 5.
I think he's answered you. So, Tim, another point to you. Incorrect challenge. Sharks. And 54 seconds starting now.
Such as Jaws 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. And I'm certain that movie makers soon will be coming up with...
Derek Nimmo challenged.
Repetition of movie makers.
No, it was movies before. It wasn't movie makers.
Well spotted, German.
So, Tim, you still have the subject. 47 seconds on sharks, starting now.
The shark is a beautiful but menacing animal. It has been described as a machine for eating, because...
Paul Merton challenged.
Isn't it a mammal rather than an animal?
A mammal is an animal.
No, I don't think so.
It is. It all is. Mammals are animals, not all animals are mammals.
Oh, I see. Well, there we are. We learn something every day. No,
it's a new lyric for you, though, isn't it? Mammals and animals.
So he was still correct. 41 seconds left for you, Tim, on sharks, starting now.
I'm having great difficulty getting into my stride with this topic, but I would like to get back to my main thesis, and I want to deal with it in 6 parts. Firstly, the teeth of the shark. These are venomous, vicious, and extremely unpleasant. Woe betide.
Paul Merton challenge.
They're not venomous, are they? Because if their teeth would be filled with venom.
Absolutely,
if they were venomous.
There's no venom. They are very dangerous and very vicious, but not necessarily venomous. It shows the erudition of some comedians, and Paul Merton has brought it to good use in just a minute, and he's got the subject of sharks in 28 seconds, starting now.
I once owned several sharks. I kept them at the bottom of the garden in a very small pond. Consequently, they didn't last very long. They died after about 2 minutes, which I don't think is long enough to really appreciate a pet. Now, some people, they own sharks, but they keep them in the Atlantic Ocean. Now, this is much more sensible because in a sea that size, it's easier to keep them under control, which doesn't mean anything at all, but I don't think that...
Oh, that wretch beside you, Paul, got in with half a second to go on sharks. What was it?
I don't think that's erudition at all. I think the man was struggling from the moment he opened his mouth. Hesitation, deviation...
No,
upright,
there was
lies,
no.
You know,
no, what is no deviation?
Which, what
deviation,
was your what was your challenge?
Lies from start to
was
finish.
Your challenge deviation?
No, of course not. No. My challenge was.
You've forgotten, haven't you?
No.
He certainly wasn't deviating. No, he wasn't deviating. What you failed to say was that he did actually say half a second ago, which is, no, it's too late now, Tim. I'm very sorry. And you're out in the lead and you can afford to be generous. So Paul still has the subject of sharks. There's half a second to go, starting now.
Durden.
Our first time guest on the show, Paul Merton, is keeping up with our leader, Tim Rice. He's only 2 points behind him. Then comes Peter Jones and then Derek Nimmo in that order. And Derek begins the next round, and the subject, Derek, is Stick of Rock. Will you tell us something about that in this game, starting now?
I shall never forget consuming my first Stick of Rock. I left Speke Airport near Liverpool in a small biplane and flew to Blackpool, then wandering along the promenade past the deck chairs and people with jolly little handkerchiefs on their heads with knots around them, I came to the Tower. And inside and all around there were people selling sticks of rock. What are they, I pray? I said to my father, because I was a very respectful child, as you can imagine. And he said, damn it, sir, silly son, they are sticks of rock. I said, could I have one? He said, here you are, and gave me a halfpenny. And I went over to the nearest vendor and said, please, sir, could I have a stick of rock? I quickly tore off the paper, and there's a wonderful minty aroma wafting through the air, and I spied the letters which said, I love you, and I chewed away, and still said exactly the same, and I then had another nibble, and then...
What? Poor Merton challenge
I
with
just
one...
somebody should stop him.
He should have been stopped years ago, but... What is your challenge other than that, Paul?
None. I've just human regard, really.
Yes. Human regard. Well, he had 1 second to go. He nearly achieved that personal success of speaking for 60 seconds without being challenged. It was an incorrect challenge, so you get a point for that, and you still keep the subject, so you'll finish up with more points. And 1 second on Stick of Rock, starting now.
My second Stick of Rock came from Brighton.
So, Derek Nibbo got 2 points in that round. One for being interrupted, one for speaking as the whistle went. He's now equal in third place with Peter Jones. Then, above them, comes Paul Merton, who begins the next round, and he's trailing our leader, Tim Rice. Paul, the subject is nerds. Can you tell us something about that in just a minute, starting now?
I suppose this is the male equivalent of the bimbo. It seems to be a word that was conjured round about the same time. I know there have been films made, certainly released in America. There was one movie called Revenge of the Nerds, which is... A nerd is a person who wears glasses, his ears stick out...
Tim Rice has challenged.
Well, if this is true, then they are in no way the equivalent of bimbos. Bimbos are highly attractive.
It's not their ears that stick out, is it?
But they are similar in that they both are sort of like... they're not very well blessed with mental ability. That's the point.
I think that was the point you were trying to make.
Well,
that's
he failed to make it.
Yeah. Well, he better make it, yes. I mean, physically, I agree, their attributes are different, but I think you established in my mind that mentally their capacities were similar. Mm. And so you keep the subject, Paul, with 42 seconds left, starting now.
It seems to me that there is somebody going around the world inventing new words for us to use all the time. You have nerds. Yuppies was one, which was a few years before that. But a nerd, to me, is somebody who has no idea of what's going on around them at all. They tend to be the person in the back of the class who has no idea about...
Tim Rice has challenged.
Two no ideas.
Yes, I'm afraid so. So, Tim, you have a correct challenge there. You have the subject of nerds. There are 22 seconds left, starting now.
I have a sneaking sympathy for people characterised as nerds. I think that their apparent stupidity and moronic gape in fact hides a keen intensity and a transparently easy-to-see shyness. I'm talking a load of absolute cobblers here.
So, Paul Merton challenge. What
you can't hide an easy-to-see shyness.
Well spotted.
Well spotted and well listened. And 7 seconds for you, Paul, on nerds, starting now.
When a group of nerds get together, this is known as a collection of nerds, or in other words, a nerd...
Well, we have an interesting situation. Paul Merton took the subject of nerds, got points during the round, and also got that extra one for speaking as the whistle went, and he's now equal in the lead with Tim Rice, and this is the last round coming up, so it is interesting to see what the final situation will be. And to begin the last round, it is Peter Jones. Peter, it's your turn. Austrian cakes. I know you love sweet things and pastries. Will you tell us something about them in this game, starting now?
The best known one, I suppose, is the Sacher Torte, which is manufactured...
Paul Merton Challenger.
I've never heard of it.
Well, what does one say to that?
What is your challenge, then?
Well, it's not the best known of all Austrian cakes.
Well, it doesn't matter. The subject isn't the best known Austrian cake.
What do you think is the best known Austrian cake?
The Franz Joseph sponge.
That's a good reply. We've had a bit of fun. We could get back to just a minute. Incorrect challenge. Peter has another point. 56 seconds left on Austrian cakes, Peter, starting now.
Manufactured by the people who run the hotel of the same name. Now, there's a shop in Vienna called Demel's where they have every kind of patisserie and French pastry and other sort of things with a lot of goo and
Tim
chocolate.
Tim Rice challenge.
We're talking about Austrian cakes, not French pastries. I mean,
but it was established that this place was in Vienna.
Yes, so, he so was, what?
Therefore, he was in an Austrian era and talking about the fact that there were also patisseries there. So, 43 seconds are still with you, Peter, on Austrian cakes, starting now.
There's one Austrian cake in particular that has a kind of sandy texture, and you buy it, it's in the shape of a ring, and you put fruit in it with cream on the top. It's frightfully bad for you, of course. Naughty but nice was a phrase that sprang to mind when I was mentioning this cake, because that was the phrase they used in advertising.
Tim Rice challenge.
Two phrases.
Yes. It almost ran out of steam.
Right, so I thought he was doing rather well on that.
You have a correct challenge on Austrian cakes, and you have 24 seconds to talk on the subject, starting now.
Musi den zu stetile hinaus. That is the phrase that springs to mind every time I eat an Austrian cake, mainly because it's the only line of German I know. And the first time I heard those wonderful words, I was stinking...
Derek Nimmo challenge. Hesitation, Derek. You have 9 seconds to tell us something about Austrian cakes.
When I looked for my perfect Austrian cake, I boarded the Orient Express with my favourite bimbo, and I got off at Innsbruck and then Salzburg for arriving.
Well, Derek Nimmo kept going and had a nice joke at the end as the whistle went, gained an extra point, and I now have to give you the final situation. Well, the two longest playing members of Just a Minute, Derek Nimmo and Peter Jones, finished together in third place, equal on points. In second place was the man who's only played the game once before, and we've all enjoyed his contribution tremendously. He very nearly won. It is Paul Merton. But 1 point ahead of him is the man we judged to be the winner this week, Tim Rice. We do hope you've enjoyed this edition of Just a Minute, and it only remains to me to say on behalf of our four, Tim Rice, Paul Merton, Derek Nimmo and Peter Jones, thank you very much for tuning in, and also on behalf of the creator of the game, Ian Messett, who sits beside me, and our producer who sits ahead of me in a little glass panel, actually, and that is Edward Taylor, and myself, Nicholas Parsons, thank you for your appreciation and joining the show, and I hope you want to tune in again at the same time when we take to the air and we play Just a Minute. Until then, from all of us here, goodbye.